So Stratfor put out this piece on their predictions about geopolitics. It was pretty terrible. And so this was the lead-in that I got cut off the audio before I started recording. The world should prepare for new wars. That's what the founder of the influential geopolitical forecasting firm Stratfor, George Friedman, told the Business Insider. According to him, the current international system contains the seeds of self-destruction, as it allows for crises that can't be solved by the system itself. Stratfor founder said the decline of certain global powers and the rise of others could create such crises in the near future. For example, he said the rise of Japan may lead to a maritime war with the United States. According to Friedman, the Eastern European and Middle East are likely to become world's hotbeds as well, where emerging countries like Poland and Turkey might meet head-on with Russia. Friedman notes that there have been earlier periods in which international observers have been deluded into believing nations would no longer go to war. For example, he said from 1815 to 1871, there was not an interstate war of any substance in Europe. But then came World War I. So in the beginning of the interview, the woman interviewing... So the beginning of this interview got cut off because of time's sake, but... Basically, George Friedman was saying this ridiculous stuff, how there were no conflicts between 1815 and 1871, and then suddenly there was the First World War. And just, no, that is so inaccurate. And we named a whole bunch of conflicts between those time periods and completely debunked everything he's saying. He was just making predictions for Stratfor based on patterns in history, and even his patterns in history were incorrect. So it's hilarious. I mean, he's ignoring the Crimean War, the 1857 Rebellion, the American Civil War, and so on. And it was the American Civil War that really led to all these new armaments. I mean, you got rail guns and revolvers, and which led to a mass arms export after the war. But anyway, I mean, what the heck with geopolitical policies and analysis? He just looks at crash patterns and makes these stupid predictions. And they were so wrong. So that's the part of the interview that got cut off that you didn't hear.
I don't know what he's thinking. He's been consistently wrong. I don't know why anybody would listen to Stratfor. They said that the Russian Empire would collapse. That's their prediction. In the next 10 years, they also said they'd be losing territory. Last decade, that was their prediction. And of course, Russia gained territory. It was the opposite of everything they said. They didn't see Libya coming. They didn't see Syria coming. They thought there might be war with Iran. They've been consistently wrong on every prediction they've made. I don't know why anybody give them any credence whatsoever. And his evidence for his claims this time is nothing but crash generalizations of patterns in history. And like you said, he doesn't even get that right.
And who uses these Stratfor forecasts?
You know, what they point to these things as a way is saber rattling. Like, for example, when they talk about the maritime rise of the Japanese Navy, that is specifically to scare the Chinese and North Koreans into an arms race. That's what it's for. They're always talking and saber rattling about China is going to invade islands or Japan's going to do this. And it never happens. It's just a way to create a Cold War in that part of the world so that both use each other to build up their navies. It justifies military spending, and that's all it's for.
So it's a kind of provocation.
Absolutely no chance of China and Japan going to war with each other. Their economies are too intertwined. It would never happen. But they can point the finger at one another to justify building up their naval empires for the sake of, you know, economic reasons, not any real military threat.
Yeah, what about Stratfor boss talking about the maritime war between Japan and the United States?
That's even more ridiculous. I mean, Japan and the United States are the third and first largest economies on Earth and our allies. The U.S. has bases inside Japan, so it wouldn't do very well for Japan to start a war with the United States or vice versa.
And what about China and United States? He mentioned
China. Well, they're going to have a sort of Cold War. China is building up its navy and making claims on the Spratly Islands, not with Japan. They dropped that already, but they're picking on Malaysia and the Philippines and in a smaller countries that they can bully around. And so these places are caught in a tug of war between China and the U.S. And the U.S. is more than happy. I mean, they have an altruistic facade, you know, coming in to stop the big bully China, but really it's in their own economic interest just to build up their naval powers. They don't really have any sincere concern about Malaysia or the Philippines. It's just an area where they can sell boats.
And there are other conflicts, of course, mentioned by Friedman, including Russia clashing, for instance, with Turkey or with Poland.
Well, that's already happening. I mean, Stratford's saying Poland's going to be the European power in the next 10 years. I just have to laugh at that. That's not going to happen. Turkey and Russia are already in a conflict, so that's not really a prediction. I mean, Turkey shot down a Russian plane when Russia started bombing ISIS and the illegal oil trade that was going into Turkey. But Stratford completely missed the ball in that entire Syrian conflict, and they still don't understand the relationship between Turkey and these terrorists. They are covert mercenaries. They don't even hide it very well. We could see this coming all the way back with the Rafiq Hariri murder in Lebanon, which was the pretext to get Syrian troops out of Lebanon, and then months later, the Israelis invaded. They got pushed back. They killed too many civilians. They lost the PR war in there because they killed thousands of Christians, and so Israel got pushed back. So they had to find another way into Syria, and asymmetric warfare has been the method of warfare since the Korean War in 52. That is how the first world picks on the third world. You know, from the advent of the nuclear bomb on, they've had to have asymmetric warfare because first world countries cannot fight each other any longer. It's mutual destruction.
But surely, Ryan, if people have seen what happens with the forecasts that they've read about years before, nothing's come out of them, surely all forecasts now can be from Stratford can be taken with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, if you read them, but what they do is they, as their predictions are falling apart, they just make new ones in the style of like an astrologist, where it's super vague and they say three different things, so one of them's kind of right. I predicted the invasion of Libya. I predicted Syria. I predicted Iraq in 98. I've been accurate on these things because it's not really that difficult. Instead of guessing at it and looking at crass patterns in history, you can look at specific policies. There was a man, Richard Perle, who was the head of the Defense Policy Board of the United States in the Pentagon, who wrote up a plan to attack seven different countries, and they've been following that plan. He was a student of Oded Yanan, and you can follow the Israeli policy papers, and you would have known about Iraq and Syria. I can tell you right now, ISIS is going to re up in Libya. They're going to make another home base there because they're getting pushed out of Syria. We're going to go back in Libya. There's going to be more conflicts there. If you understand who really holds the power, then it's not hard to predict the future. But if you're ignoring the Israeli role and influence over the United States, and you're just going to look clueless, making new, you know, reasons for every conflict as they come, with no predictive power whatsoever, and that's what I see them doing, because they're afraid to talk about the elephant in the room.
And what are we going to see Stratfor predict further in the future, do you think? What else surprises they will reveal?
Well, the things they're saying now, they're saying in the next decade, all right, by 2026, that Russia will collapse, that Poland will be the emerging power in Europe, a war between the U.S. and Japan. I mean, it's all ridiculous. I don't know how these people get paid, or I don't know why anybody would listen to that rhetoric. Poland is going nowhere. Russia is not going to collapse. There's definitely not going to be a war with Japan. It's ridiculous. And you know, nobody should pay attention to these people. No one should do it. I mean, you can look up internet bloggers with more accurate predictions because they're basing it on the facts. These guys say things for economic reasons. They do boogeyman scare tactics and say, oh, look, this think tank is saying X, Y, and Z, so you better invest in this direction. It's a way of influencing economic policy. But if these economists were to look at the historical record, which you can do easily on the internet, it used to be a lot harder in the 80s and even early 90s to get the information about what they were saying. But now it's very easy to do, and you can see that they've been wrong over and over again.